1% of Czechs would say they are believers. The good thing is that if they say you're a believer, it means that your faith is probably real. But that leaves 99% more of the country that doesn't have this relationship with Jesus. And probably more than 80% of those would say they are either atheists or just unaffiliated with anything, with any spirituality. Though they might say they're atheist, I would say maybe more agnostic. Some of them might say, yeah, maybe there's some being, but it has nothing to do with me. It's not personal. It's not related to my life at all. So that's a huge part of the spiritual culture there. The denomination that I'm involved with is one of the smallest in the country. It's a Czech denomination. But it's also one of the few that is actually growing, which is pretty incredible. The specific church that I'm involved with is doing a number of activities to reach out. And one of them that I've been involved with a year ago, my teammate Stacy and I, we started a language cafe. We wanted to offer English language primarily, because a lot of people do want to practice their English. So it's a way to connect with the community, with what's going on, with what people are interested in. And people came, and it's been really sweet to see how over the course of the year, and even we were in quarantine from March to May, but then when we started again in June, to see how people returned. And so there were probably between 6 or 8 that came back after a few months of nothing, because I think there was a community of sorts that was built. And as we had a final picnic party outside for the end of the year and invited their families as well, it was just really so special to see how this group has been together and enjoy each other. And even as they started again this fall, the same people are returning. So we're so excited to be able to build relationship with people this way, to have some deeper conversations with those from the community who maybe generally wouldn't come into a church setting or anything like this. And this does happen in our church building, which doesn't look like a church, but nevertheless, it's a church community. And so I've just heard so many times through our cafe, this language cafe, there's an alpha course that has been running, through our youth group, that when others come in from the outside and join us, they say, there's something really special here. Like, you're just so welcoming and you like each other and you get along and you, and so there's definitely the spirit of Jesus that attracts people when they're among us. And that's really, really special to see, and see how God is drawing people just through these relationships. It really is very, very relational. I want to share a piece of what I've been learning and processing recently. I am involved in going through a spiritual direction program right now, which spiritual direction is the process of accompanying someone in their own listening and experience of God. It's a lot of listening. It's a lot of asking questions and contemplating where God is in the midst of everyday life. And so as I have been doing this and experiencing my own spiritual formation, I'm realizing how much it's impacting my life, but also my ministry in the Czech Republic. So one of the questions, we had to read a book recently called Renovated, and it's by Jim Wilder, with essays included from Dallas Willard. And one of the main question of this book is, how does spiritual transformation take place? Because isn't that hopefully what we all want? We want to be spiritually transformed into the image of Christ. We want to reflect his glory. We want to be all that he created us to be. And have life to the full. And I think for many years, I felt like I was trying hard. It was a lot of striving and a lot of learning or maybe Bible study, but realizing that more knowledge doesn't necessarily lead to spiritual transformation. It's just more knowledge. My own will or willpower doesn't lead to spiritual transformation. It's just striving. It's just trying. And after a while, it's really exhausting. And so really what I've been learning and the premise of a lot of the books I've been reading actually are just that it has to come through a close, close connection to Jesus and experiencing Jesus and having even a love attachment with him. Like there's a lot of psychology about attachment and how we attach to our caregivers, our parents. And but what a true loving attachment does allows us to respond. And so as we experience Jesus, as we rest in his love and have that close connection, he actually does something within us that we can't force. We can't force ourselves. And it's a response then that flows out of that close attachment to someone. Your response is to give, to love, to serve. And so that's been, it's been transforming for me over the last number of years. And it's something that I want to invite others into as well, to truly experience Jesus and his transformation, because we can't just keep trying and trying and trying. It doesn't work. And so my hope and desire in ministry, and as I mentioned, especially with girls, but along the way to mentor some, yes. But I also want to invite them into the experience of God, to listen to what he's saying and how he sees them, and to help facilitate that attachment with him. I want them to help them explore themselves, what's going on with it inside of them, and to be able to take that to Jesus, to not just let it sit there and fester, but to truly take it to Jesus and experience what he wants to feed into them in the midst of that. So I don't know if you remember, but I think a few years ago when I was sharing, I was saying the tech culture is a hard culture to get into. People are generally harder to open up. But in the past, I don't know, even up to a year, I would say, I've been so amazed and in awe about what God is opening in relationships, the relationships of the girls that I'm working with, and even of others within the church that I'm involved with. And I want to share just two examples of how that has been happening. Well, within groups, two groups of girls. One is the female leaders of the youth. A lot of them are in university or maybe just past university. And there aren't really any other females involved in youth leadership besides me, who are older than them. So I'm almost leading the youth group of girls to lead even the younger girls. Well, I'm involved in both, but you'll see. And it's been so, so precious to work with this group of girls. Sometimes we meet together as a group, but more often it's me one-on-one with various ones of them. And I was especially struck after we came out of quarantine this spring, how impactful I think these relationships are. As we were coming out, we were spending a lot of time outside so that we weren't together in closed spaces together. And so I took a lot of hikes individually with girls around May and June, which was great because I love hiking anyway. But I was so amazed how they are opening themselves up to me, their desire to truly know God more and to follow him and love him and serve him. And they seek input, and I'm sharing from my own journey and experience as well. And asking questions as well, and listening to what they're saying, and listening to what God might be stirring within them, and following up on that, and asking who they want to be, who God is inviting them to be, in many different situations. And I feel the responsibility, maybe, of some of this. Like, it feels... it feels big. It feels like a big responsibility, because in a way I'm helping to shape a life, and yet I don't want it to be me just shaping a life, saying this is what you should do, this is what you shouldn't do, but truly like inviting them into what God is saying and what God is leading them into. And so my hope and prayer is that it does come back to a focus on Him, that it's not just like, oh, they need Jan, they need me in their life, but they need God in their life. And so, especially in this season, when I'm not there, I'm really hoping and praying that they can look to that. I'm still involved in their lives, somewhat, and still in contact, but, it's not about me, but everyone also does need someone who is speaking into their lives, and leading and guiding along the way. At the end of May, we met together to encourage each other, but also to talk about what this fall and beyond would look like, because I'm not there. And as part of that, that meeting, I really wanted to encourage them to name what God has put in them, to be able to name the gifts that God's given them, and to be able to call them out among each other. Because these girls especially have a hard time seeing sometimes, or naming, what am I good at? What do I have to offer? And in some ways, I see a little bit of similarity actually with traditional Mennonite culture. Because, at least from my experience, sometimes there's a little bit of pride, like, oh, I can't say I'm good at this, because that would be too prideful, or something like that. And I see that in the girls, too, going, like, I'm not really so good at this, or someone else can do that better, or whatever it is. But these are the things I hear. And so... I really long for them to step into to almost claim, no, this is something that God has put within me, and maybe it's not perfect, and maybe it's a growth process, but to be able to go, okay, yes, this is here, and to own it, and to thank God for it, and then to offer it. How can I use it? How can I step into it in a small way, even? And so it was really special to be able to even name these things in each other, which I think some of the girls couldn't name or even had a hard time accepting. So sometimes it's even hard to accept that someone else is saying, no, I see this, you're good at this. And to go, okay, like, can I truly believe that? Can I accept that? And believe that it's something God gave me, and can be useful for His glory. And so, yeah, I continue to pray for these girls that they do have the courage to accept it, to believe it, to step into it. And I see it. I see parts of it happening, and some of them are doing it. And I want to continue to walk alongside them, to call them out and to call them into what God does truly have for them. Another group that I've been involved with is leading a small group Bible study for some high school girls. And I've been involved with this group for a number of years, but there's a Czech girl leading it with me. And this year she stepped back and said, you know, I don't really feel like I have the capacity this year. And I really felt like it should continue, that these girls need this space to be together. They don't have classmates who are believers for the most part. They don't have other contexts in which they can talk about life and talk about how to live a life following Jesus. In general, they don't have this. And so I decided I would lead this group. And I was so scared, because it was going to be in Czech, my Czech is not perfect, and especially when you're talking about spiritual things, it's extremely difficult, really, really difficult. I don't always understand what they're saying or asking, especially in group context. I have to say, I'm sorry, I didn't get that. Can someone please like slow down and explain? And then they do. But yeah, so there was a lot of fear going in, going, God, if this is going to happen and be worth anything, it's going to be you. And so this was truly a process of going, Lord, like, I am surrendered to you, and Holy Spirit, you have to do this. Going like, it's not by might or by power, but it's by God's Spirit. And recognizing that I often step into things that feel more comfortable, that I go, okay, yeah, I can do that. And probably most of us do. It's really difficult to step into something where I go, I'm not capable. I don't have that within me. And yet those are the places where God's glory shines through, because it's not me. And I knew going into this year that in this Bible study, that if anything came out of it, it wasn't going to be me. Because yeah, I couldn't always express what I wanted to say. In English, it would have been fine. But in Czech, I knew if they were going to receive anything, it was going to be the work of the Holy Spirit. And so it's been really so wonderful to see. I don't even know. Well, I do know. We worked a lot on who I am in Christ, on identity, on authenticity, on striving versus trusting, and what kind of masks we wear, and forgiveness, and a lot of different things. And I do believe that they came out stronger, at least having some things that they can hold on to and go, no, like, I am in God's hands. I am significant. I am beloved. I am. And so they have at least these reminders, and I think those have been significant for them. But I think even more significant has been the space to be together and to truly be authentic and vulnerable with each other. The youngest girl who joined us just this year said, you know, like, I never imagined being part of a group like this. She said, I just feel safe here, and I feel like I can share about things, and it's okay. And I was so blessed to hear that, just knowing, like, okay, this is a safe place for these girls. And even as I was leaving this call, they were saying, okay, there's actually no one to lead that group this year, which is really a shame. But they were saying, how can we stay connected? Like, how can we continue to pray for each other and be able to share these things? They were like, maybe can we just get together every other week or something like this and share and pray? And I go, yeah, do it. Like, if there's no one else to lead you in it, you can do that. You can do that for yourselves. So it's been such an honor to walk with them, to even be part, and for them to be talking about something that's happening in school or something they're struggling with, and they'll turn to me and say, what do you think? Because I've been there with them, and I've walked with them, and I've spoken into their lives, and I've been able to give my wisdom and what I've learned along the way and in my journey. And that's really valuable for them. And so even as I was leaving Prague on September 10th at 6 in the morning, in came two of these girls from my Bible study just to say, like, one final goodbye. And I went, oh my gosh, like, who comes to the airport at 6 in the morning to say goodbye to someone? And yet, like, it just tells me that something was really significant there. And I'm so honored and I'm so humbled by it at the same time, about what God's doing, because it really wasn't me. I felt like I had very little to offer them. And God did things within them that I couldn't have imagined. Yeah, so a huge part of what I'm actually doing right now is discipleship among these young women. Many are believers, some are on their way, and also some English teaching as well, and building those relationships and discipleship within those areas as well. But yeah, if these girls are built up to follow Christ, to be a witness and to disciple others, in a similar way, the kingdom's being built. And I keep encouraging them, like, yes, you need someone pouring into you, and then who are you going to pour into? Even as a teenager, even as a high school or a university student, who are you going to reach out to and to continue this process with, to be there for them and listen and encourage and build up? So my desire is truly to be that fragrance of Christ in the church, that it's not about me for my glory, but it's truly about His glory and how it's being spread through these relationships, because that's really what it is. That's all it is at this point. No, that's all it is, and it's good. So right now, I have to be out of the Czech Republic because of legal tax reasons for 6 months, and I'll actually be around for 9 months because I am taking the second year of a spiritual direction training. I think I've expressed before, God's leading me into more of these pastoral care areas, and I'm excited about it, about what God might do in these relationships. And again, it's not about me, but like what He wants to speak into us. And I just want to be there to accompany and help make a space for that to happen. I don't know exactly how else that will happen. Right now it's been fairly informal. I don't know if it will be more than that or not. But yeah, we'll see where God leads as I head back. This fall, I am meeting with a lot of you, sharing in churches, doing some fundraising, and still staying connected to the Czech in some ways. And then come December, will be about 6 months of sabbatical, which I'm also looking forward to, just as a pause and a refreshment, renewing in order to go back and to be able to give fully again into life there. So to return next year, I realized, or we discovered, that I need to be paying specific Czech taxes because I am living there. And so my budget actually increases by $300 a month. And along with that, there's about $1,200 a month that is not currently pledged, that's uncommitted. So I realize I do appreciate very much your involvement as a church. Praying for this ministry, giving financially, really, like, you're enabling these relationships to happen and the growth of these girls. Yeah, God could do it other ways, but He's using me right now. And so I do thank you. You've made a difference in these lives. I know that anything I share can't just convince you that you should support this ministry more. But if God is stirring in your heart, I invite you to consider it, what He might be inviting you into, because this has been really significant. It's significant for lives there. And I'm truly honored and humbled by what God is doing. I want to share, just to close here, a message that our youth leader wrote. So he and his wife are good friends. And knowing that I would be fundraising, and this isn't just to toot my own horn or anything like that, because as I'm sharing, like, it's not about me. But this is what he's recognizing. And he says, "It's been a blessing and a privilege to have Jan serving alongside me in youth ministry at our church. In our youth ministry at Strinatska Church, we are working with teenagers and students in their early 20s. Most of our team is also composed of university students, except me, my wife, and Jan. Most of our team members are young and somehow struggling with life and are not always firm in their life direction. It is great to have Jan, who is mature and wise and is able to lead us to the leader and oversee the entire girls' ministry. The years of Jan's ministry and Prague has been amazing to see. How she connects with girls, how she leads them both in one-on-one meetings as well as in groups, how she cares, how she invests her time and energy in relationships, how she is praying for the entire ministry. I treasure that Jan sacrificed her life in the USA to bring change to lives of people here in Prague and make an internal impact that way. I hear about and I'm witnessing changed lives, and I have observed the fruit of the Spirit from Jansburg. And that's all for God's glory.
Thanks for sharing, Jen. It's good to hear an update from you and to hear it live from you in person. And Krista and I serve on the Jan's missionary support team, and it's a blessing that our congregation supports Jan. But I was also blessing in what you were sharing just now, Jan, about how our prayers and our gifts do play a significant part in enabling those relationships. And saying, well, I'll contribute, and that will be my part of the mission. Also, on the flip side, I feel like I can't do anything. People around the world need to know this message. Our prayers and our giving do have a significant impact beyond ourselves, beyond the United States, beyond our homes, to people that I've never met, but that Christ is working there through them, that we're part of that. That's encouraging to me. So we would encourage you to consider continuing or perhaps starting to support Jan. We have placed some letters and forms in your mailbox if you would care to take a look at that and carefully consider it. We would be blessed if you would. Now we're going to have some questions and answers, time for questions and answers with Jan. I'm going to start with one, so I'll give you a minute to think of one here quickly. You mentioned that a lot of Czechs are atheists, or maybe agnostic would be a better term. Can you speak to the spiritual literacy of Czech culture? How familiar are they with spiritual concepts or not?
It varies. The past years, before World War II, the country was primarily Catholic. So, granted, that's a number of years ago now. So especially the older people probably have some kind of knowledge of Catholicism. Some of them have some knowledge just like, oh, they know... how much? I don't, it's a mix. Sometimes I'm surprised by that they do recognize that, oh, like Christmas, we do celebrate the birth of Jesus. Like, they don't really, but they might recognize that, traditionally that's what it was. Some of them actually don't have any connection to that at all. It's Easter is a very secular holiday at this point. There's no connection to Christianity for most people at all. They might have some knowledge that it is connected, but for them, it's nothing connected. I think sometimes I'm surprised that some people go, I recognize that there is this. But I think there is, in general, with Christianity, there's kind of a prejudice against it. Like, there's some knowledge, but not enough to know exactly what it is. And so they kind of think it's old-fashioned, it's not for me, it's just a bunch of rules or something like that. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Maybe that's a bit of an unfair question. I asked that just when Chris and I had visited. I was impressed by that sense, despite there being a large number of church buildings, very ornate church buildings, and just seeing these two things in contrast. Mm-hmm. The Czech Republic has a very storied spiritual history, mm-hmm. Even for Mennonites, but then to have some of these lesser informed or perhaps ignorant ideas. Mm-hmm. What questions do you have for Jan?
There's no...
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a good question. I think in general, trying to make the most of life. At this point in their, I don't know where the country is right now, there's opportunity. So there's opportunity for jobs and to earn a decent living and to actually have things that you want or go on vacations to other countries or things like this. And so in general, I think it's this kind of, I can be self-sufficient and I can have these things, like kind of more like the Western world. So I see mostly that. Although in general, I would say there is an openness to spirituality of some kind. I think there is more and more a searching for something to give them some peace or some hope or something. But it's being searched at in all kinds of different things.
For a true respite for now, do you have to like physically cut off contact there? It'd be hard to like.
I won't completely. In terms of relationships where I feel like I'm pouring a lot into, I will. But even some of those, I feel like this is my friend, and I get a lot from this relationship too. And so some of them, I'll continue just as a friend, like, I want to connect with you. So it won't be completely cut off. But from more work and, like, more of my mentoring roles, it won't be that. English is definitely a draw. They like, especially with kids, everyone wants native English speakers for their kids. And actually, Stacy and I were both doing some English for kids, and I think we're both being led in different directions. It's not necessarily as life-giving for us. and so we are stepping back from that. But in terms of like with other relationships, even with some of the youth, they'll say, hey, I need to take like one of the CP tests, one of the English tests for high school or university. Like, would you be willing to practice with me? So that's definitely a draw. Otherwise, in general, Czechs like Americans. The culture, they watch a lot of TV shows and movies and things like that. And I go, okay, our culture isn't exactly like that. But being an American is definitely probably even a draw. Primarily because of English, but in general, like, they have nothing against Americans. So sometimes even Americans are more outgoing and extroverted and rambunctious, and I think Czechs are in some ways a little bit drawn to that because that's not their culture at all. I don't necessarily fit into that, and so they say, oh, you are American. I go, oh, thank you.
Jen, you mentioned the desire to learn English and that many do go on to university. Is that the expected track here of people in the Czech Republic? It is here in the U.S., but many students also go to
university in general. Most go on to university, especially because university there for them is free. So there's really no reason why you wouldn't.
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Jen. I appreciate your sharing.
I wanted to mention as well, there are a few pictures and things back here if you want to look at anything, or if you'd like to receive my newsletter or for updates. Personally, I think they come to the church. I'm not sure how that's spread, but if you'd like to receive it yourselves, feel free to sign up there.
That's the closing song. You can feel free to follow along with the lyrics, but I think it's on the newer side. It's called To the Table. And I invite your thoughts and prayers as I will be singing. Similar to the Father's House song, the invitation from Christ is to hear his voice and to take a seat at the table. And for a lot of us, you know, we stand at a different distance for whatever reason. And so I think, again, there's sort of two ways I encourage you to think about this. Either personally, if you feel like you're sort of at a distance for whatever reason, the invitation is to lay your burdens down and to come and sit at the table. But it's also to intercede for those who are resisting Christ or who, you know, feel that God-sized hole within them, to intercede in that that God could break down those barriers and that they could also come to the table and be drawn by Jesus' love and mercy and be able to experience him.
Hear the voice of love that's calling. It's a chair that waits for you. And a friend who understands everything you're going through. Standing at a distance in the shadows of your shame, there's a light of hope that shines. Won't you come and take your place? Bring it all to the table. Nothing he ain't seen before. For all your sin, all your sorrow and your sadness, there's a Savior and he calls to bring it all to the table. He can see the way you care. Fears that hold your heart, but through the cross you've been forgiven. You're accepted as you are. So bring it all to the table. There's nothing he ain't seen before. For all your sin, all your sorrow and your sadness, there's a Savior and he calls, so bring it all to the table. So bring it all. There's no one who's turned away. All you saints, come right in and find your way. Come right in, take your place. There's no one who's turned away. All you saints, come right in and find your grace. The chorus. And bring it all to the table. Nothing he ain't seen before. For all your sin, all your sorrow and your sadness, there's a Savior in his heart to bring it all to the table.
All right, thanks so much, Dan and Chad, for leading us. And yeah, just like we're glad to sow into the church financially and with our prayers. And let's just, I'd love to take some time. Jan, if you don't mind just standing up where you are. And we just want to take some time to pray for Jan specifically, and especially as we've done before, to just take a moment and listen and see if there's anything that God will put on your heart to speak to Jan as she shared her heart with us. So let's just invite the Holy Spirit to come. So Jan, if you don't mind just standing right where you are there, can't do our normal kind of close thing here, but and I'm just going to say a prayer about the Holy Spirit and just take a moment to listen. If there's any word or phrase that you want to speak to Jan, just speak it out in your best outside voice, and I'll also repeat it into the microphone. Okay? All right, let's do that. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. We thank you for the testimony that we got to hear from another part of the world that you love so much and your work there. And we believe that you are glad to hear the testimonies and also to encourage Jan. So we want to be that for her this morning also. So come, Holy Spirit, and help us to encourage Jan this morning. Just take a moment to listen, and if there is anything, a word or phrase that you want to speak to Jan, just shout it out whenever you feel like you can.
Genuine authentic
shepherdess. Genuine, authentic shepherdess who not only watches the flock, but goes after the one.
Confidence that God's Spirit transforms lives.
Confidence that God's Spirit transforms lives. Leaves a lasting impression.
Especially for us, that leaves his lasting impression.
Yeah, leaves his lasting impression. My peace I give to you. The Father's house this morning, but it's words are the Father's heart, and just see that heart kind of encircling you. And that would be your experience these days. So let's just stretch our hands out towards Jan and just lead us in a prayer and just pray along with us. Lord, we just bless Jan today in Jesus' name. Bless her coming in and her going out, that you would strengthen every step that she takes and every word that she speaks. We pray for your abundance of provision for her these months, God, of relationships and opportunities of rest, finances, of mentors, of the transformation that your Spirit wants to bring to her. All of that would be hers in abundance, we pray today in Jesus' name. We pray for deeper wells, God, even as she shared, Lord. We pray that this season will be a season of digging even deeper wells that would flow with even greater measures of water, God, to everyone that she meets. And that would bring deeper peace into her heart and mind. That she would return to the check knowing that there are deeper wells and knowing that she has to strive less than she ever has before to see even greater water come forth from her life for those who are thirsty. Pray for clarity of mind and heart for her as to what to give herself to and what to release. And today, right now, from this little pavilion in Washington Borough, we bless the Czech Republic. We bless our brothers and sisters that are there, laboring, wanting to know you with all the challenges, their own challenges that they face, God. We bless them today with your grace and your peace. Pray you multiply and make their work fruitful in every way. Their hearts would be
incline towards you. They would hear you, God, and they would live from a place of intimate knowledge of you and your presence in their lives. Lord, we pray that you would endue them with power, God, and signs and wonders would follow them, that they would know how to sit the lonely in families, God. They would know how to speak wholeness to the broken, God. That they, people would see their good works and you would praise you, our Father. Open doors for your words and open prayer in that place. Thank you. And may your grace and peace be upon us as well in this place, Lord, and all the things that you have set before us this day and this week. May our lives also be an offering that lifts you up and glorifies you in all that we do. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, be blessed, everyone.